We're going to get our Bibles open to John chapter 10. And just while you're turning there, let me commend to you again, if you haven't read John's Gospel all the way through, then why not grab one of these? You could do so probably just through on the welcome desk. And why not read it? Read the whole account of Jesus' life according to John, who writes. But tonight we're continuing our series, looking at seven reasons why Jesus says that we need him. And tonight we're going to be reading from John chapter 10, reading the first 10 verses. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." And just before we get John's gospel open again, let me pray for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the name of Jesus is beautiful. Father, for some of us that might seem like a strange thing to say, but when we recognize Jesus is the one who we come to be saved, and in him is all life, Father, we thank you that Jesus is a beautiful name. And Father, as we look at this, your word again this evening, would you remind us of that fact? Or teach us for the first time, perhaps, that Jesus is a wonderful name. Please, Father, take any distractions from us, perhaps the tiredness of a busy weekend, or from the heat, or the busy things that are coming up this week. Father, please remove them from our minds. Help us to fix our eyes on your word here and on your son, Jesus. Please help us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I wonder if you've ever come across a photo mosaic before. Has anyone seen a photo mosaic before? A few more yeses might come up when I show you a picture of one. But the idea of a photo mosaic is that there's one big overall photo, which is made up of lots of smaller images, which kind of make up this big photo. So here we go. Here's a photo mosaic I found online. Can you tell who it is? Very good. So this is Nelson Mandela. Okay, this picture's made up. So one big picture made up of lots of smaller images. And if you were to zoom into these smaller images, you would see something in Nelson Mandela's life or learn something about him. So maybe if you zoomed in just where the tie is, you might learn something about his childhood and where he grew up. If you zoomed in a little bit closer to somewhere else, maybe you'd see about his time as a revolutionist, or his time spent on Robben Island for 27 years. Or maybe you zoom just into his eyebrow and you learn and discover him as the president of South Africa. This is a photo mosaic. Now, why am I showing you a photo mosaic? Well, as we come back and as we continue our series looking at seven reasons why Jesus says we need him, I want to suggest that as we do that, it's as if we're gazing at some of the smaller images of this big picture that is the Lord Jesus. You see, the seven reasons described in the statements we've been considering, plus all of Scripture, all of the Bible, they add together to reveal Jesus as the masterpiece, the center of everything. And so effectively, what we've been doing and what we're going to continue to do tonight is we're just zooming in on some of the smaller images. You see, we've already zoomed in on two. We've seen Jesus, as we've zoomed in, is the bread of life. We saw last week that Jesus is the light of life. He's the one that we need to kind of, as it were, bathe in, soak up the sun like we have this weekend to have true life. And tonight we're going to focus in on another aspect. We're going to kind of zoom back in on another image. And as we do, it's one that Jesus gives to us. So if you just glance down to verse 1 to 5, here Jesus presents us with one scene and two images. So as Jesus is speaking, first to the Pharisees, but there are others around, as he's speaking to them, he kind of paints this picture. He says, look over here. He said, imagine a field. And in this field, there's some sheep. There's a sheep pen or sheepfold, as it says here. There's a shepherd. There's a gate. And as he talks about this image, what he does is he focuses our attention on different aspects. So first of all, he draws our attention to the gate, which is what we're going to consider tonight. He also draws our attention to the shepherd, which you have to come back next week for that one. But he draws our attention to the shepherd and says, look, I'm like a shepherd. But tonight we're going to consider and reflect on what Jesus says, or Jesus means, when he says, I am the gate. Perhaps as we read this passage, you were a little bit puzzled as to what was going on. You know, Jesus, what do you mean when you say that you're a gate? And it seems a bit of a strange thing to say. But if that is you, then if you just can't glance your eye down verse 6, you're not the only ones. So as Jesus told this picture from verse 1 to 5, the Pharisees are in the same boat. It says, the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. So don't worry, you're in good crowd, or maybe not a good crowd, but there we go. But in this passage, particularly 7 to 10, where we're focused much of our time, Jesus doesn't leave us to wonder what he means by these verses. You see, as Jesus draws our attention to the gate in this picture, the first thing he says is, I am the gate for the sheep. He is saying that he is the only gate for access to his sheepfold. It's the same point he makes in verse 1. So just glance your eye down at verse 1. So he says, very truly, I tell you, Pharisees. So just the context there in chapter 9, Jesus has done this healing. There's a bit of debate with the Pharisees as to whether he's done it or not. But he says, verse 1, very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. Jesus says, he is the only legitimate way to get into the sheepfold. And to add some more detail, he expands that in 7 to 9, where we focus most of our time. But just glance at verse 9 and let me read some of that. So he says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. So as Jesus draws our attention to the gate, he links two ideas. He says, to be saved and to gain access to the sheepfold is the same thing. And it's only possible through entering Jesus, the gate. Now, I guess for most things in life, you are required to have something or to do something to gain entry. So I don't know if anyone's been watching the Football World Cup, the Women's Football World Cup. Anyone been watching that? I've been kind of slowly drawn into that. So on Tuesday night, the Lionesses are playing the USA in the semi-finals of the World Cup. Now, if you were going to go to that game, which is in France, I think, you'd have to buy a ticket. You'd have to buy a ticket to gain entry to get into the stadium. You couldn't just rock up and say, well, I've come for the game, can you let me in? It doesn't work like that. Another example, if you were going to go to a fancy restaurant like Nando's, maybe not Nando's, maybe like the Ritz or something like that, you'd have to dress up, you'd have to just smarten up. You couldn't just rock up and expect to be allowed in. You need to put on your best clothes. If you're applying for a job, which I know many of us are doing at the moment, applying for a job, then you can't just go and turn up for work. You need to apply. You need to give a CV, write all the best things, as it were, and send it in if you have a chance to gain entry. You see, these are just three examples, but it's true. You have to do something or have something to gain entry. This is part of everyday life. And this is true of entry into Jesus' sheepfold, of entry into God's saved people. See, very simply put, Jesus says we must enter by the gate to be saved. We must enter by the gate to be saved. He is the only way in. And this is a huge claim, isn't it? Jesus says, I am the gate, not a gate, but the gate. There's only one. There's no other way. If you want to be saved, if you want to... missed the page. If you want to be saved... Sorry. There we go. If you want to be saved and to experience the removal of sin in your life and have hope of eternity with God, then you must come through Jesus. There's no other way to do it. Now, immediately, this claim is rather seems quite exclusive, doesn't it? It's not very inclusive of Jesus to say, well, I'm the only way in. There's no other way to get in. What about other people's claims and beliefs about being saved and being made right with God? What Jesus says is exclusive, and it's alien to our culture. But this isn't Jesus being big-headed here. He is speaking truthfully. Twice in our passage, it's in verse 1 and verse 7, he says, very truly, I tell you. Pretending there is an alternative route into God's sheepfold, into his saved people, is a lie. And this is what Jesus addresses when he speaks of the thieves and robbers. See, look again at verse 1. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. Jesus is the gate, and the gate is the only way into the sheepfold. Any other route is not good. Any other route is not legitimate. And yet our world is full of other ideas and other claims of how to be saved, isn't it? If your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, then you'll be all right. If you just love enough and kind of avoid confrontation, then that's the way to be saved. You'll be okay if you do that. But Jesus says, no. If you want to be saved, if you want to be part of God's flock, then you must enter the sheepfold by Jesus. There is no other way. Growing up, I used to waste a lot of time watching a channel called Challenge. And, well, I say waste, I did quite enjoy it. But most days, they would show this brilliant show called Takeshi's Castle. Has anyone come across Takeshi's Castle? Oh, good. I thought it was just going to be me and you then, Glenn. Now, Takeshi's Castle is basically the equivalent of Total Wipeout or It's a Knockout. It's a game show where there's lots of obstacles to get through to get to victory. But the difference with Takeshi's Castle was there was absolutely no risk assessment and there was no kind of consideration for human welfare. It was just, here's some games, let's see what happens. The other cool thing about the show is I think it aired for about 6 or 7 years and I'm sure there was only one winner. So it wasn't like you even won anything. But anyway, I had to complete these random assault courses and one of my favorite ones was called Knock Knock, which is basically... There was a line of four doors in front of the contestants. And over one of the doors was kind of papered over. And the other three doors were kind of reinforced, so you couldn't get through. And to complete the challenge, the contestant would have to choose one of these doors, hopefully the paper one, and they'd have to run full pelt at it. And hopefully they would come through it to the other side rather than being smashed backwards. It's certainly worth a watch if you haven't seen it. But don't do it now, do it afterwards. But here's the point. In our world, there are many entry points. There are many doors saying, come through me to be saved. Come through me to enjoy true life. They're all over our place in our world. Just step out the door and you'll see. But the Bible says only one is true. Only one of these doors will let you gain entry into God's saved people. And Jesus says, I am the gate. Enter by the gate to be saved. It's as if he's saying to us again this evening, look, if you want life, if you want to be saved, then run through me. Run full pelt and dive through me. All the other doors are false. If you commit yourself to an alternative door, then you're going to be smashed backwards. See, in Jesus, we are given the ticket to enter into life. In Jesus, we're given the right clothes to wear, which are his righteousness. In Jesus, we're given the perfect CV, which is his blameless life. And all of these are only possible through Jesus because he was willing to take the blame we deserve for going astray. See, Jesus took the punishment we deserve for listening to lies in our world rather than listening to him. You see, it was at the cross where Jesus took on himself our guilt and our shame so that he could remove the sin, our sins from us and clothe us in perfection so that we could be granted access through him to his sheepfold, given access to life. Jesus says, I am the gate. It's an exclusive claim, but it's true. But it's also, let me highlight, it's also completely inclusive. You see, look again at verse 9. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Whoever. That includes everyone here. That includes everyone in our world. Whoever comes through Jesus will be saved. So let me invite you afresh tonight. If you haven't entered through Jesus, if you haven't run through him and entered the sheepfold, then why not do that tonight? Why not come to Jesus and be saved, to be forgiven of your sins? He is the only entry point to life. And he calls anyone and everyone to enter through him to be saved. So why not do that this evening if you haven't yet? Come and enter through Jesus. Enter by the gate, Jesus, to be saved. Now what's amazing about these verses is that there's much more than that to be said. You see, by entering by the gate, we're not only saved by Jesus and given this new life that we don't deserve, but we're told here that as we enter by Jesus, we come to the place of the great shepherd, of the place where there is full life. So just look at verse 10 with me. So Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I, Jesus, have come that they may have life and have it to the full. See, we're to enter by Jesus the gate to be saved, but we're also to enter by the gate to be shepherded. This is the place of full life, life to the full. And this shouldn't surprise us. You see, Jesus doesn't just save us from an empty way of life that's heading to destruction, but he saves us, he calls us to himself. And then after saving us, he then wants to teach us and lead us and guide us in life now and through to eternity, to give us full life. See, imagine for a moment a lifeboat on a rescue mission. The lifeboat crew have heard of a shipwreck just off the coast, and they're kind of zooming out there to save the day. When they get there, they see a number of people kind of just bobbing up and down in the water, trying to keep their heads from drowning. There's not a moment to lose. So what do? Well, the experienced crew, they dive into the water. They start pulling people out, putting them onto the boat. They start rescuing them. And before long, they've got everyone into the boat, and they're saved. Isn't that good? Hopefully, you've not had to experience that, but here we go. But can you picture the scene? These people that were drowning, they've been rescued, they've been put into the boat. They're now safe. Now, after being saved, it'd be rather strange then, wouldn't it, if the lifeboat crew just kind of ignored them, kind of didn't take care of anything after they'd been put into the boat. It'd be strange, wouldn't it, if they didn't start giving towels out to kind of clothe them because they're shivering. Perhaps they'd give them a drink to fight off dehydration. They'd certainly, at the very least, want to stop them falling back into the water and drowning all over again. You see, like the lifeboat, Jesus doesn't just save his sheep and then leave them to it. By entering by the gate, we are saved. But then we come under the watchful eye and leading hand of the great shepherd. Now, I don't want to steal too much thunder from Glenn's talk next week on the Good Shepherd. But we can't miss the point that as we enter, as we're called to enter through this gate, the Lord Jesus, we come to the place of Jesus the Shepherd. See, look at verse 9. So I know we keep going back into it, but I just want to make sure you see this from the text. Verse 9, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. That's point one. They will come in and go out and find pasture. It's the first half we've considered. But as Jesus talks about the sheep coming and going and finding pasture, it should remind us of the shepherd from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, it says there. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes me. He guides me, and so on. Now again, we're not dwelling too much on that. But these truths, this protection, this security, this leading, well, they're only possible as we enter by the gate. It's only as we enter by the gate we can come to the place of the shepherd. You see, if we stay outside the sheepfold to try and find shepherding elsewhere, we're going to be disappointed. We're going to be dissatisfied. See, where else in your life or in our world can you say, in them I lack nothing? The Bible says that this is only possible under the shepherding of Jesus, and we can receive this only as we enter through Jesus, the gate. See, in him alone is the place of full life. Who doesn't want full life? Is there anyone here who doesn't want full life? I don't think so. You might be sitting there thinking, well, I'm a bit old now to experience full life, or I've gone down this path for too long, I can't experience full life. Well, the Bible would say that's rubbish, because in Jesus, Jesus is the place to find full life, both now and for eternity. Look back at verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. See, we are warned again here. There is a warning here that many will claim to offer this life, like the doors we thought about earlier. Many will claim to offer life and a way to salvation, but it's only through Jesus the gate. All other claims are harmful and lead only to pain and destruction. A full life is knowing Jesus. A full life is being under his care, even in the trials of life and the many battles we face. A full life is having true purpose now as we live for Jesus and hope of eternal life to come in the future. Now, we haven't spent much time considering the sheep this evening, but if you were to describe yourself as an animal, I don't think sheep would be too high up there. Does anyone consider themselves a sheep this evening? No, no takers. Now, there's a simple reason for that, and it's because sheep are stupid. Okay? Being described as sheep is not a flattering image. And I was reminded of it this week. And again, this is something else for you to YouTube later. But I was reminded of it again this week as I Googled sheep. And I watched this video of a sheep. Let's call him Steve. Steve was kind of on the top of a cliff. And he had a little look over the edge, and before long, he'd gone over. And you think, oh, Steve, that was a really silly thing to do. But what made it worse was that Steve mates Larry came over, and he thought, oh, where's Steve gone? And Larry came over, and he had a look, and he goes, oh, Steve's down there. And what did Larry do? Well, he jumped over as well. He followed his mate. And there's stories you can read where whole flocks do this. They see one of them go over, and they're like, oh, what's down there? And they all go over. Sheep aren't very clever, but it is how people are described in the Bible. You see, sheep need a shepherd, and we, unfortunately, we are sheep. See, listen to the prophet Isaiah. He says this, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. That's what we do naturally. We're so good at it. We are sheep. We just go our own way. We need a shepherd. But praise God that verse goes on to say this, the Lord has laid on him, the Lord Jesus, the iniquity, the sin of us all. See, we need, as silly sheep, we need to be shepherded, and this is only truly possible as we enter by the gate to where the shepherd is. So don't wander off. enter by the gate, enter through Jesus, to come under him as the shepherd, which again, we'll see next week. Now, we started our time, let me go back to it, we started our time looking at a photo mosaic. And really, as we've focused on just the image of this gate this evening, I hope we've just seen a little bit more glimpse of who Jesus is, what he came to do, what he's continuing to do in our world today. Perhaps that's for the first time you've spotted that this evening. You've said, yeah, Jesus is the only way. Well, let me encourage you, if that's you, to talk to someone about it. Come speak to me afterwards if that's you. Well, perhaps this evening it's just a reminder that it's only through Jesus the gate we're saved, but also only through him that we come to the place of shepherding. That is full life. Jesus says, I'm the gate for the sheep. Enter by the gate to be saved. Enter by the gate to be shepherded. Let me pray for us before the band come up and lead us again in another song. Heavenly Father, we thank you that as we've read your word again tonight, we can be in no doubt, no doubt whatsoever, that there's only one way, one name, one gate that we must enter to be saved. And Father, we pray that you'd help us to keep trusting that, or to trust that for the first time perhaps this evening. That our salvation, our being saved and being part of your family is only possible through Jesus. There's no other way. And Father, for those who are trusting that already, help us not to be like sheep who wander, but to keep coming through the gate, to keep entering through Jesus, to come to the place where the shepherd is. And Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.